Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, Son, and Spirit, how unsearchable are your mysteries and how high are your ways. We pray you will lead us in your truth and teach us your ways. Deliver us from coldness of heart and from distracted thoughts. Please reveal and bring to light the unsearchable riches of Christ. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. This evening, we will be looking together at Ephesians chapter 3. In the opening of this letter to the saints in Ephesus, Paul revealed to them God's plan of redemption. According to the plan and grace of God the Father, God the Son has accomplished redemption for his people. And by the power of God the Spirit, God's people are brought into a perfect communion with God the Father through the Son. In chapter 2, Paul reminds us that our salvation is by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. And both Jews and Gentiles are united as God's people by our union with Christ. So let's look now to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was made known to the sons of men, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We live in an interesting day and age. We live in a time where information is more accessible and available than ever before, especially with new technologies like television, cell phones, and the internet. We are exposed to a mass amount of information. There are great benefits to this, of course, but it can be overwhelming at times. And in the wave of information that washes over us all the time, we often have true and false information that is mixed together and hard to separate. Wrong information can come in the form of a mistaken weather prediction or misinformation in the news about who did what to whom. Bad information comes from everywhere. And when it comes to filtering out what is true or false, much of the credibility or reliability of information we get is related to the source. If you think about Adam and Eve and their encounter with the serpent in the garden, God said, if you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And what wrong information did the serpent bring? The wicked serpent brought the wicked promise that you will not die. It's God's word against Satan. So depending on the source, we can rely or not rely upon certain information. In our passage this evening, we'll see that Paul is reminding his readers and us of the source of his message as an apostle. Our holy, all-knowing, and unchanging God is our source for the unmatched good news of the gospel. And because this news has been given from God, we can rest assured in its reliability. And as God's chosen messenger, Paul reveals the will of God to us. Our passage this evening is an opening of Paul's parenthesis, or rabbit trail in the text. In verse 1, Paul starts in one direction and then shifts to another direction in verse 2. You may see a dash at the end of verse 1 in your text to signal to the reader that there is a break in the sentence or thought. This was to include in our English translations to mark off these verses between verse 1 and verse 14 in chapter 3 as a break in Paul's thought flow up to this point in Ephesians. If you've ever been to the mountains of North Carolina, you may be able to attest to this, but there are two common ways to get to where you want to go. Option A is that you take the most direct route. Or option B is that you can go on the meandering mountain roads of the Blue Ridge Parkway to see God's beautiful creation. Paul opts for option B here. He reveals the beauty of the unsearchable riches of Christ according to the revelation that was given him. He gives this revelation as an obligation as an apostle, but also to encourage the church in Ephesus in their walk of faith. Paul does this by sharing about his Spirit-empowered role in the ministry to the Gentiles and in driving home the eternal redemptive purposes of God in Christ. In verse 1, we read that Paul was a prisoner of Christ Jesus. In describing his current condition, Paul did not mean that the incarnate Son of God arrested Paul and put him in some kind of heavenly prison. Rather, from Acts chapter 21, we learn that Paul was arrested in Jerusalem because Paul was accused of teaching against the law and bringing Gentiles into the temple. In the eyes of the Jews, Paul was making unholy so much of what they cherished as holy. This included Paul's preaching of the gospel that non-Jews could be included in the covenant community as God's people simply by faith in Christ. As we read in chapter 2 of Ephesians, Paul was traveling from place to place, teaching that both Jews and Gentiles can have peace with God through the redeeming work of Christ. This was the message that Paul proclaimed, and this was the message that got Paul imprisoned. Paul's preaching resulted in him being hated by many of his fellow Jews. But instead of being ashamed of his imprisonment, Paul took his persecution and did not hide it from others. He wore his imprisonment as a badge that proved his devotion not only to Christ, but also his commitment to and love for the Gentiles. Paul was literally a prisoner as a result of his faithfulness in proclaiming the gospel to the Gentiles. So Paul was a prisoner both for the sake of the Gentiles and for the sake of Christ, because he was bound with chains as a criminal for proclaiming the gospel of Christ to all people. Paul was also bound in another sense. He was not only bound and imprisoned, but he was bound to his duty of ministry. In verse 2, he describes his ministry to Gentiles as the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Paul's ministry to the Gentiles was a stewardship, a responsibility that was given to Paul from God. Elsewhere, Paul says he has no choice. He had no choice but to preach the gospel. He was bound up in his calling as an apostle. In his own words, he said that this necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. We are obligated, bound, and responsible to obey God, all of us are, because he is our creator. But in a special way, Paul had a specific and individual calling to obey God as an apostle, to reveal the mystery of Christ to the Gentiles. He considered this to be a great privilege. In verse 2 and in verse 7, Paul mentions the grace of God as his source of ministry to the Gentiles. In Paul's past pre-conversion life, he was a murderer and persecutor of Christ and his church. But God did not leave Paul in this misguided zeal and passion. Paul says, by God's grace, he was made an apostle to preach the gospel to the nations. Paul was both bound as a prisoner and also bound to his duty as an apostle of Christ by the grace of God. Although we are not apostles, most of us are not ordained preachers, we as Christ's church have been commanded and commissioned to proclaim the gospel to all nations as well. This is one part of God's grace to us. Have you considered God's grace and our privilege of being on mission as a church who reaches out to the nations with the gospel of Christ? Do you consider it an unmatched privilege to share in the fulfilling of the Great Commission? Knowing the darkness and sin from which we have come, can you say that you are grateful for God's grace, not only for salvation, but for his grace in giving us the privilege of participating in the proclamation of the gospel? Whether it be by supporting the local ministry of this church or an evangelical church that preaches the gospel of Christ, like Valentine Presbyterian Church, or if you're supporting missionaries in churches throughout the world. By God's grace, we are his people who have a wonderful privilege of playing a small part in God's big and eternal plan of redemption through sharing our faith and in supporting the proclamation of the gospel. Praise God for his grace to us. And may he use us mightily for his glory in the advancement of his kingdom. After reflecting on the grace of God, Paul continues to write about his God-given insight into the mystery of Christ. How is this mystery revealed? How is this mystery unveiled? Beginning in verse 3, Paul writes that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Although in the Old Testament scriptures, the inclusion of the Gentiles as the people of God was hinted at and mostly hidden, Paul says that the unity of Jews and Gentiles as one people of God was in the past a sure coming reality, but it was not fully made known to previous generations. This is the unfolding nature of Scripture. The Word of God is a progressive revelation. Over time, generation after generation, we are able to see more and more of God's glorious plan as it is revealed in Scripture. And in the unfolding of this eternal mystery, which was previously only known in the mind of God, we can come to know God's hidden will through his self-revelation. The nature of the gospel has been described to me in the past as a blossoming flower. The full beauty of a flower remains hidden until the time of blossoming has come. And with the coming of Christ, the outpouring of his Spirit, and the ministry of the apostles and prophets like Paul, God's plan of redemption has reached full bloom in the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Through his chosen instruments, God now has revealed or made fully known the mystery of Christ. What does this revelation of the mystery show? In verse 6, Paul tells us, Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Gentiles are together heirs, together with Jewish Christians, members of the same body, and together sharers and participators of the promise in Christ Jesus through the good news of the gospel. This is the message of redemption that was promised by God to Abraham and now has been clearly revealed in the ministry of the New Testament apostles and prophets of Christ. As Paul writes in Galatians 3, in Christ the blessings of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Paul's reiterating and emphasizing what he said at the end of chapter 2. You Gentiles are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. This message of redemption not only includes the unity of Gentiles and Jews as one equal people of God, but the gospel most importantly brings us into one united body with Christ as our head. This has been done for us so that we might rightly worship our loving God in spirit and in truth. Paul continues in verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. Earlier in Ephesians, we saw Paul's pattern of emphasizing God's continued redemptive work by the Spirit, by God the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit. Christ was raised from the grave and exalted to the right hand of the Father. By the power of God, by the Spirit, has and continues to raise those who are spiritually dead to spiritual and eternal life. And by the power of the Spirit, God is building his people up together as his church and holy dwelling place. And here we see that Paul was made a minister by the same working of God's power by the Spirit. After Paul's dramatic conversion on his way to Damascus, God was powerfully working in Paul as his chosen minister, apostle, servant, and instrument. Paul never makes any claim to minister this glorious gospel in his own strength, but he humbly relies on God to provide the Spirit, as he said in Ephesians 1. He relies on God the Father to provide the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Christ. In the first chapter of Colossians, Paul says that I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, speaking to the Gentiles, to make the Word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. By grace, this mystery was made known by the Spirit of God to Paul the Apostle, and from Paul to us. By grace, this mystery was made known to us, and we ought not to take God's grace lightly. We ought not to make light of God's grace, because Paul didn't. Maybe you think about God and are mystified by Him. Maybe you think about God knowing that you don't know Him. If you're far from God and do not know Him, I echo the message of the Apostle Paul in saying that you too can be a part of God's family. God's revelation to us is that we can be saved from an eternal hell by God's grace through faith. For salvation is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we think we are, in contrast to our evilness and our sins, we are sinful in the eyes of God because we have broken His law and disobeyed Him. The only way we can be saved is through the gift of God giving us our salvation. God tells us that the consequences and wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God promises that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're listening to this message today and have not experienced the comfort and joy of knowing God in a saving way, I urge you to repent and to turn in faith to Jesus today. If God, by His Spirit, can bring life to all creation, and bring life to the dead, and bring children from spiritual death to spiritual life, He can bring you to spiritual life as well. We cannot rely on our own power, but we must rely upon God, who wonderfully and powerfully saves those who come to Him. For those of you who do know Christ, I encourage you to be like Paul in relying on God to empower us to continue our life of faith and in fulfilling the Great Commission. And as we continue to grow in our knowledge of Christ and His grace to us, may we strive to continue in looking for opportunities to love one another as Christ has loved us. Take to heart God's word from 1 Corinthians that if we have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if we have all faith so as to move mountains but have not love, we are nothing. And lastly, Paul was an example to us to not be ashamed, to ask for the Spirit's help. In the closing of his letter, Ephesians, Paul asks for the church to pray for him, that he might have boldness in proclaiming the mystery of the gospel. Paul was not only bound as a prisoner, but he was bound to his duty as an apostle. And because of God's grace through Paul, we have a full look at God's grace to us in the revelation of the the mystery of Christ. Amen and amen.